now that they had discovered the empty tomb. And John, it says, believed. It doesn't go further than that. I don't know exactly how he would have answered the question, but it says at this moment he believed while everybody else had not yet figured it out that Jesus would, as was required by God's plan, raise from the dead.
You'll want to be sure to catch the rest of Pastor Terry's message in just a moment. But first, we want to say thanks for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church podcast with pastor and author Terry Bailey. This podcast can be found on iTunes by searching for Terry Bailey Ministries in the iTunes store, where you can also subscribe to the podcast and get the weekly message sent automatically to you by clicking the subscribe button. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Terry as he preaches this week's insightful message.
Long time ago, before we all had cell phones, and my family being a large family and sometimes traveling together in intergenerational situations, I developed a strategy for when we got separated. If we had two vehicles or three vehicles and through whatever occurrence of traffic or problem we got separated, everybody wanted to know what to do. Because there had been a few situations where we got separated and everybody spent an hour wandering around the same unfamiliar location looking for each other and ruined the whole day. So we developed this strategy that when we were separated, If somebody gets railroaded off on the wrong ramp or whatever else, just keep going to the destination. If you didn't see an accident and you just think that somebody has to turn around, just keep going to the destination. We will all catch up when we get there. Now, we don't have to do that so much these days because we have cell phones. The last time I remember that going into place was in Texas, traveling in a few vehicles from Houston to Galveston to the beach. And although there was some argument because we had some people who were not familiar with my strategies at the time, Michael talked everybody into keeping going after I got railroaded off on the wrong lane there on that busy bypass around Houston, Texas. And sure enough, we all met at the beach not that far apart. Keep going to the destination where the separation will end. Andrew read for you from the Gospel according to John, the 20th chapter. It was John's account of the women and the two disciples who went to the tomb and found it empty. And of course, the women, as Eric told you in the sunrise service, the women jumped to a conclusion. They have stolen his body and they have taken it. Well, we don't know where, but they have taken it. How would we find it? We have no idea. And so they were heartbroken to think that even the body of this one that they had loved so deeply and in whom they had hoped so much, even his body should be taken. The two disciples, Peter and we assume John, decided that they should see for themselves, and they ran to the tomb and they saw things. And there were oddities in what they saw. The sheet that had covered Jesus' body was still there, though the body was gone. And curiously enough, the little napkin thing that had covered his face was rolled neatly up and set aside. Now, I don't have much experience in thievery. Praise God for that. I have been stolen from, but I have not yet stolen from anyone. And I praise God for preserving me from that path. I don't have much experience thieving, and even less experience of grave robbing. But I will tell you this. When was the last time that somebody robbed you? And how... Just try this. How many of us here have had things stolen from us? Yeah. We all have. It's an unfortunate thing in our society. How many of you have had this experience? The thieves that took all your stuff changed the laundry loads for you while they were at it. Did your dishes. Ran the dishwasher on a cleaning cycle and all. They don't do those things. It was such a curious thing. The napkin covering Jesus' face had been carefully rolled up and set aside. Not the kind of thing that someone who was going to rush in and steal the body for whatever purposes might have done. There were these oddities. And there was also the fact that Jesus had gone to the cross promising that he would be back in 3 days. And there were all these prophecies delivered in the Old Testament through the centuries that suddenly seemed eerily relevant now that they had discovered the empty tomb. And John, it says, believed. It doesn't go further than that. I don't know exactly how he would have answered the question. But it says at this moment he believed while everybody else had not yet figured it out that Jesus would, as was required by God's plan, raise from the dead. Mary, if you read past where we stop just a verse or so later, is still weeping about grave robbers and the body being gone. But soon, things are going to change. I don't want to get ahead of myself. So let's say this for a moment. They get there, at least this small clutch of women and the two disciples, and the body is empty. Excuse me, the tomb is empty. The body is gone. The face cover is neatly rolled up. It is a great mystery. Something has happened here. What shall we do? This always strikes me as the most peculiar moment in the whole account. What shall we do? Let's all go home. It says that all the disciples went home, and not to a communal place where they might be dwelling together to discuss these things. It says each one went to his own home. The tomb is empty. I guess we'll just go home. I mean, maybe they should have run to the temple and looked for Jesus there where he had been accustomed to teach when he was in Jerusalem. Maybe they should have darted back as quickly as they could over the miles to Caesarea where Jesus had been most active in his northern ministry. Maybe, I don't know. How would you find him? What are you going to do? Where would you look? He was mysterious enough when he was just alive. And now his body is gone, and we're not sure what's going on. So what would you do? Well, we'll all just go home. And now, I'm ready without getting ahead of myself, things are about to change. Mary had seen the empty tomb, and it was evidence of something. But now, she has a personal encounter with the risen Lord, and this is evidence of something much greater, and Mary is changed. The disciples had seen the empty tomb and the rolled up face cloth, and that was evidence of something. But soon they will have an encounter with the risen Lord, a personal encounter. See him, talk to him, walk with him. And that will be evidence of something much greater. and everything will be changed. As people who had seen or heard of the empty tomb began to have actual encounters with the risen Lord, everything changed. I hope we begin to catch the drift. Because you see, I could accept as a matter of history that the tomb was empty. I could accept, because it is recorded, that there were these oddities, like somebody rolled that stone away and somebody carefully folded up that napkin and placed it to one side. I could accept that if there was a conspiracy, it would have been difficult because it would have at least had to have included the Roman guards and maybe have gone further than that into the Roman government to have a conspiracy to fake the resurrection of this condemned Jewish criminal. I could hold to the fact that all those prophecies of the Old Testament suddenly have a new relevance because the tomb is empty. I could even begin to take seriously that Jesus went to the cross. It is recorded that he told them as he went that he was going to be back in just 3 days, which is an unusual promise to make when you're about to die. I could accept all that as evidence of something, and it would be evidence of something, or I can have a personal encounter with the risen Lord and everything changes. Amen. Some people may be saying, wait, you mean we can still do that? Have personal encounters with the risen Lord? Now, I'm going to say right now, and come back to it in a moment or two, that I realize we cannot walk with Jesus face to face, hand in hand, as the apostles were able to do, as Mary was able to do at that age. I recognize that the ascension changes things. He said he was going to go away and he wasn't going to be back for a while. I recognize all that. Now hang on to that for a moment. But there is also this: draw near to me and I will draw near to you. Seek and ye shall find, knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. When he left, and when he said he would not be back in person for some time, he also said that he would send the Holy Spirit to minister to us, and that when we believe in him, when we accept his salvation, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in us. And that is an extremely personal encounter. Let's hear it for those who know God through the Holy Spirit. He said, even though I'm gone for a while and I will not be with you in person for this interim, nevertheless, when you pray in faith in my name, I will answer. And I testify, he has answered my prayers. And it has been an extremely personal encounter. Let's hear it if Jesus has ministered to your prayers. He said, when he left and told us that he would not be back in person for a time, that he would, through these other ministries, nonetheless begin to change us, to transform us, to make us less and less the person we used to be and more over in his image. This is, I believe, one of the single most precious promises in all of Scripture. We shall be like him. Amen. Let's hear it. If you have begun to experience transformation, in all of these ways, we continue to have encounters with the risen Lord. The face-to-face is coming when we will sit down at the table with Him, when we will begin to know as we are known. But in the meantime, we have not been left alone. We have not been cut off from the life, the grace, and the mind of He who saves us. It is not just a simple, casual, historical belief that the tomb was empty, or that there were oddities, or that there were prophecies, or that there was a promise that Jesus made before He died. All of that is there, but it is also a personal encounter with the risen Lord that we may have now and more to come. And I return now to what I told you in the beginning. When you are separated, continue on to the destination, and there we will come back together. I know that we long to see Him face to face again. Amen? I know that we have been separated over these years and centuries, but I tell you this, continue to the destination, and there we will be together. In the meantime, after we have done just a couple of more things, you will be dismissed, and I expect that you will do what the apostles did in the 20th chapter of the Gospel according to John, which is to say, you'll go home. And what I urge you to do is to find Him there as you have found Him here. And in whatever number of weeks it takes to get there, we will all go back to work. Those of us who are off. And my advice to you is to find Him there as you have found Him here. And I do not know what difficulties or adventures await any of you in days, weeks, months, or years to come. But I urge you to find Jesus in all of those circumstances and to continue on toward the destination where the great reunion will take place. Amen. Andrew will come in just a moment and lead us in communion. And when we are dismissed, if any of these Easter flowers are yours, you can just drive close by the front here and someone will hand them to you. They have the names on them. You'll be able to make a gift for the offering on your way out, or if there are issues that you need to discuss, decisions that you need to make, prayers that you need to have, just stay here in the parking lot, and when everyone else is left, we will find you in your car, and we will deal with those things. Thank you, and God bless.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our faithful listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church podcast. You can find out more about the church by visiting our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. That's www.christforeastcanton, all one word, IndianRunChristianChurch.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.